Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, February 10th, 2012, and I'd like to welcome you all to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your personal gold and silver bullion dealer. We're located here in the Rose City of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and those can be directed to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. That's M-A-I-L at centralmetalscorp.com. Also like to remind our Canadian listeners, our RSP season is still available for last year till the end of the month. So if you're interested in having gold and silver bullion coins in your RSP, just give us a call and we could help you set that up. Also like to remind our global clients of our unique and one-of-a-kind vault storage services. We deal with one of the leaders in global logistics around the world, so if you're interested, please give us a call. And it's always my honor to introduce our regular guest, world-renowned economist Mr. Bob Chapman. How are you doing today, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. A little cool, but the whole world's cool right now.
Mm-hmm. We have, Bob, we have some a couple of questions from a couple of weeks ago, actually. Just wanted to get those out of the way. We have one from Paul in Toronto. He was asking, he's read somewhere apparently that it's been said that Canada has the ability to put back into the Bank of Canada the 500 tons of gold sold by a previous government back in the 80s within 4 years through domestic production. Is there any truth to that?
No, but guessing, I would say that it probably is true. But I don't know the government is going to do that because the U.S. tells them what to do, so I don't see any changes.
Okay. And he's also wondering what would be the ramifications of going back to the gold standard in the short term for people without gold. I guess he's referring to countries.
Well, I'd have to pay more to buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
And probably make prices go even higher. So if they want to buy gold to back their currencies, they should do it now. Pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Some of them are, but not enough of them.
Right. We also have one question from Frank in Kingston, I believe. He's wondering if your new recommendation, Alexco Resources, would they be a target for the naked short selling by the powers that be, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't have a gauge on that. And I haven't been involved with it long enough. And you know, what I see in the trading at the moment leads me to believe that if there is naked shorting, and that there's not much of it. But, you know, that can change at a moment's notice. So there's really no answer to the question.
Right, so you should just kind of stick with the fundamentals, I guess.
Well, naked shorting has nothing to do with either technicals or fundamentals. These people generally are trying to destroy companies, either so they don't have to cover their shorts, or perhaps somebody can come in and buy them out. And if they find that out, then they're going to cover their shorts by buying in front of the buyer for the takeout.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we have another question that came in today regarding transportation of precious metals overseas and so forth. Basically, we can people can, depending on where you're located, we have a relationship with, like I said earlier, one of the global leaders in secure logistics. They transport diamonds and gold and precious art around the world for clients. And if you're interested in transporting gold and silver from your country, basically we would set up with the branch that's closest to you. You can drop off your metal at the security vault, and they can transport it. Actually, there's a free trade port in Singapore where your gold could sit there for as long as you like. It's fully insured by Lloyd's of London, and then when the time comes, you can have it delivered to your country of residence or to another country. And if you're picking up the metal in another country, whatever the tax implications, if there are any, we can find out for you. So what you have to do is just let us know exactly where you want to transport the gold. I can get the information for you and give you a quote. And whatever the taxes are, you would be responsible for that. But basically, we can get it done for you. There are, I believe there's roughly 57 branches around the world, all over Asia, Europe, in Canada, the U.S., a couple in Latin America, and in the Middle East as well, also in Australia. So if you're interested in transporting your precious metals or storing them in a free trade port like the one we have in Singapore, you just give us a call and we can take the details down for you and give you a quote on what that would cost. So, again, it's all fully insured by Lloyd's of London. Again, we believe that the best place to store your gold is at home with you in a safe. For some people, it's not suitable, or they have too much, they don't want to do it. Whatever the case may be, if you wanted to transport your gold, or if you're moving to another country and you wanted to take your gold with you, we could make arrangements to have that done. So just give us a call and provide your details, and we can see what we can do for you. Bob, I was wanted to address some questions. I was talking to clients about some information that the value of gold, the potential future value of gold, is based on, I guess, the settlement of trade in the U.S. debt compared to the ounces of gold. There's numbers that range anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000. And one of the questions I'm being asked is, why gold? Why do they use that equation? For example, the federal debt divided by the number of ounces of gold that the U.S. holds. Why is it gold that is used in that equation?
The 6,000 years, that's been the implement that they've used to measure wealth. And at times, silver as well. And so that's the reason. It's historic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as that. Of course, it has gold and silver both have an added plus, and that is if inflation is going up, gold and silver will usually go up with them.
Okay. So it's just it just the nature of gold to act as a measure of wealth, I guess. Then I've seen some people predicting, you know, those high numbers, and people ask me why don't they use, you know, the value of the stock market or things of that nature, and you know, why is it that they use the federal debt divided by the ounces of gold? So okay, so it's based on historical precedents. Bob, did you want to update us on what's happening in Greece? I've been reading this, a lot of things going on over there.
Reads like a noveletta. On Thursday, and again today, and all over the weekend, they have demonstrations. And the labor unions, the leftists, the communists, and others are banging their drums. They don't want this deal. They said they can't live with it. And I would say that the country is on the edge of anarchy if PASCO, which is the party in power, if they go ahead and pass that thing, they're liable to be, I would say, martial law. The police and military have both said we're not going to act against our own people. And so that brings it to whom? I mean, they're going to send NATO in? I don't think so. So that's an ongoing saga. This week on different programs and in the publication, I told everybody it's going to be approved. And the markets are all running around like it's already a done deal, and it's not. They got a long way to go. Anybody who votes for that, when the elections come up April the 3rd, is going to be out of office. Now, if you're a career politician and you've been in there 10 or 20 years, there's no way you're going to vote yourself out of office. So I don't think anything's going to happen. I think the politicians are going to look, let's have the elections and then let's vote. And Germany's saying, look, we don't want to give these guys any money. They're not going to do anything. And that's not very good. So we got all kinds of problems. And the longer it lasts, the worse it is on the euro and on the other nations. Take a look at the forecaster tomorrow. Look at the unemployment rates. Unemployment under 25, like 50%. I mean, who starts revolutions? Kids under 25. So I think they better think about it. And the bankers, they went too far. They should have cut a deal 2.5 years ago. It's the only chance they had. But they don't listen to me. They read my publication, but they don't listen because they're controlled by people in the Illuminati. I got an email yesterday from a gentleman in the military at a very large embassy. He said on Wednesday I went into, I guess it's the Shah Shafir, the boss's office. They'd printed out 24 copies of the forecaster. It must be a box of paper. To pass them out to everybody. This is going on all over the world. And it's not only in American. embassies and consulates, but other, you know, foreign affairs groups and governments. Anybody who wants the forecaster in Washington, D.C., has it within a minute of it being published and put on the air, so to speak. It's incredible. So they know, I know what I'm talking about.
Well, 24 copies of the forecast, so that's almost 1,000 pages for that one embassy.
But this is going on in they do that there, but I imagine in Washington, it's just sent from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that's going on in all over Europe and Asia. It's a good publication. Doesn't miss much.
Yes, it is, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello? Hello, Bob? Looks like we're having some technical difficulties here. Hello, Bob, are you there? Okay, looks like
we
lost Bob. Oh, he's back.
I'm here.
Okay. All right, Bob, some other articles just like to touch on here. We got in... I guess there are some communities in the U.S. that are looking at using silver as an alternative to pay town employees. They were, I guess, discussing this with some Mexican leaders. Do you think that would be a good idea for the United States to have to bring back silver in their currencies?
Absolutely, especially Mexico. The biggest silver producer in the world. Their silver coin, the Libidad, is equal in attractiveness to the American eagle, silver eagle. And they're quite popular. They're not, well, the Electra stores sell them. And some of the banks have them. But I think you're going to see more and more of it as we see more inflation in Mexico and other countries as well. Mexico has a big coin market. Not like in the United States, but it's big. Most countries don't have coin markets.
I know here in Canada, the coin market is very small. People don't even, when you tell people to invest in gold coins and silver coins, they look at you like you came from outer space or something.
Well, most Americans the same way.
Yeah, I find that in the U.S., people, it seems to me, while there's many more, I guess, coin dealers in the U.S., here in Canada there's very few compared to the U.S., and people, I don't know, it seems to me that when I talk to some of my clients over there and some of the other dealers, that compared to Canada, at least they know, you know, what a silver coin really means and so on. Some people that do, the small percentage that are. But in Canada, it's still, it seems to me anyway, that it's still emerging as even a consideration for investments here. I know in Europe, I believe that they're more, especially in Germany, they're much more familiar with gold and silver coin investments. Is that right, Bob? Or?
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, you know, except for the 1920s and 30s, Canada's had a pretty good existence, and they had a lot of foreign money come in real estate, which has held its value. Whether that will continue or not remains to be seen. But the situation is that in time, more and more Canadians will go to coins, and they'll see the advantages of having them: the liquidity, the offset in inflation, real money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Canadian dollar is manipulated. You know, I follow it every day. I watch it.
Yep. What do you make of the news? Our prime minister was recently, or maybe he's still in China, working out some trade deals. Last I heard, he said that the deals that they're discussing are valued in about $3 billion range. Do you think that's going to be good for Canada or not?
Well, I don't know that the income's necessary at this time to make a deal with a communist country, but, you know, Canada's politics has always been leftward, so they're going to do what they're going to do. The reason they didn't do the pipeline in the States is that they wanted the railroads to carry the oil. And that's Warren Buffett. Corruption.
Oh, I see. So, okay, so the pipeline.
Sure, the pipeline makes
Canada
it cheaper.
Yeah.
And then the railroads don't get the action.
Right. I don't know. I just see. I had.
No, incidentally, I was going to say that city that's going to vote on using the silver coins is Andover, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's in Massachusetts. Okay. And how are they going to be using it? Is that just to pay taxes, or is it going to be?
No, it's to pay individuals who work for Andover.
Uh-huh.
Right. And you can choose to take a percentage of your income in silver coins. And what's good about that, it lowers your tax status. And in Massachusetts, that's significant.
That sounds like a great
idea. They pay you in silver. Treat that as a non-event.
I wonder how they would.
It's a heck of a deal, I think.
I wonder how they would value it. Would they value it as the? I mean, if the value of silver is changing constantly, would they pay them in ounces of silver, and then whatever the price is, that's what you get, like.
Yeah, but they would just go to the marketplace at, say, 10 o'clock every other Wednesday if you paid twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you would get the spot price at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Not too hard to do. And let's say it was $35. Or $34, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's
a great way for people to save.
Well, it seems like it's catching on. We're starting to see more and more of the states starting to look into it. I know last year we had Utah's. You know, they said that they were going to accept gold and silver as a currency. I believe to pay taxes, was it not?
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it last, or a couple of weeks ago, that there are some other states that are considering including it in their currency. Now, Bob, isn't it true that a state in the United States could issue their own currency under the Constitution?
I don't know. There's so many different ideas on that. The federal government wouldn't let you. Even if you were a state, there'd be a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to keep the monopoly over the Federal Reserve.
That would create quite competition for the Federal Reserve note, I guess. Okay, Bob, we're about at the half-hour mark. Did you want to give our listeners some information about the Forecaster and how they could get themselves a copy?
Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, social and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. Usually runs 35 to 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the internet. And everything you need to know each week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FOREcaster.com. Or you can go to www.intforecaster.com. Intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to ask a question, we answer everyone. If you would like to get a copy of the publication, or if you'd like to get a copy of our latest report on gold and silver shares, which incidentally have done very well, then you email us, and that address is Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com, Bob at intforecaster.com. And for those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 877-479-8178, 877-479-8178. And if you'd like to become a subscriber, they're offering a deal here for a full 1 year free subscription. And the deal they're offering is terrific. So if you want to be a subscriber, you should take advantage of it.
Okay, so there you have it, folks. It's a great publication. I read it every week. And, Bob, we have another question here from a fellow subscriber, Frank, in Kingston, Ontario, I believe. Let me see. This is a little bit long. Basically, he's asking when the financial system finally does fall apart. He's wondering what your estimate would be for the loss of purchasing power in the Canadian dollars. Would it be 50, 60, 70%? Do you have any idea what people could expect as a loss of their purchasing power?
Well, I think dollar purchasing power loss could be 2/3. So if that's the case, I would think instead of getting 30 cents for the dollar, the Canadians would get 60. No currency is going to be immune, believe me. And don't think this is going to happen tomorrow morning. You know, the longer I'm at this, the more I realize these people can print money until the cows come home. And with that said, and so that does two things. It gives us a bigger frame to be able to influence people and make them understand what the problem is. And it also gives us a longer time to accumulate gold and silver during that period of time. But, you know, even if Greece, Ireland, and Portugal decided to leave the euro, it really wouldn't push the remainder of the eurozone into getting out of the euro if they were going to do that for 2 or 3 years. I mean, they indiscriminately create money. Think about it. They do anything they want.
So they got the boil the frog approach. The heat's down pretty low, so they're going to take their time in their attempts at world government or so on. And I'm just, you know, I had a discussion with one of my clients, you know, surprised that the system hasn't, you know, collapsed or we haven't seen hyperinflation in the U.S. yet. And I guess, I don't know, this time around, we've seen, you know, hyperinflation in Germany and Argentina and so on, and it seemed to have happened fairly quickly within a matter of a couple of years. Does the fact that the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency give them the opportunity to make this thing last for much longer than what it should?
Yes, it does. It is a world reserve currency, and so you're going to have people who will recognize what's going on, maybe hedge themselves. But the people in the positions of power, generally speaking, are not going to dump the dollar.
So do you think that those people own any physical gold?
Yes, but small amounts. 5, 10, 20% of a portfolio. Usually 5 or 10.
So we won't really see, I don't know, is the, I guess the existence of the U.S. dollar, I mean, obviously, is it going to stay in existence in its, I guess, current structure, and then prices are just going to keep going up slowly and people, like, because really people are just, cost of living is going up and their freedoms are being taken away. And if you don't have any gold and silver, you're just, you know, that's like not having any insurance.
And that's true. People have got to accumulate gold and silver. And if they don't, they're crazy. The same thing with food. I get a letter every day. I've been out of work for a year. My extended unemployment's gone, but I bought 2 years' supply of food, and we're living off that. Now, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, I discuss with my clients the same thing. You know, people need to, I guess, practice living more simple and having a garden and I guess, putting food in storage in a cellar, in, you know, pickling foods or smoking meat and so on. You know, even I know in the forecaster, you recommend the freeze-dried food. It's just here, you know, it's just the way of life is now, everything is such a convenience. It's easy for people to just go to their local Walmart. And now here in Windsor, the Walmarts now are just last year, I think they started selling food too, not just clothing goods and hardware and whatever. But it's a grocery store, so it's literally a one-stop shop, and it's, you know, they're putting out one of our local, just down the street from my office, one of the local retail stores that sold working clothes and working boots, and he's been there for 30 years. He sold safety shoes and so on. He went out of business last week. He closed his doors. He has a store here and another one, I believe, in Chatham, which is about an hour away. And he's been in Windsor for, they said, 30 years, and he just can't compete anymore. I guess people are, one, the unemployment rate here is the highest in Canada, and we have a number of factories that have left, so there's not that much work. But, you know, you have all these small local businesses going under, and then you have the big one-stop shopping stores expanding. So, I don't know, things are changing. It doesn't look good for the local economy.
Well, it's pretty hard for both Canada and the United States and Western Europe to compete against Asia and South Central America. The wages are much lower. And that dichotomous situation is going to continue. It's not going to go away. Now, if they pass legislation, then that will change it. And I think, you know, countries like Canada, Mexico, the United States, they should pass legislation putting tariffs back in place. You know, move enough jobs out and enough income out, you get nobody to sell to.
Right. That's what I'm thinking about this, our Prime Minister going over to China, making these deals. I wonder, you know, are those deals for the benefit of Canada or for the benefit of China? Are they going to be sending over more jobs to China? Or are they, you know, I think that's what the question is. You know, how many jobs are Canadians going to lose in all these negotiations? That's what I'd like to find out.
Well, I think that sooner or later that you'll find out, but you're going to have to dig for it. It's not going to come up and hit you in the side of the head. These people, they won't tell anybody anything anymore that's important.
There should be some sort of disclosure as to what kind of deals they're making. I mean, you know, this is depending on what kind of deal they're making, it could affect you know, an entire industry in Canada. Maybe they're making a deal for you know, one of Canada's major natural resources or something, and it's going to send 100,000 jobs over to China. Who knows? But, you know, it's just amazing how they can just go over there and make these deals for the future of our country, and we have no say in it.
Well, we elect them and appoint them through the process, and we collectively throughout the world are responsible. Now, sometimes when fraud's committed, the responsibility goes back to the politician or the bureaucrat or the businessman. But what's happening in the world today is the fault of the people. They just don't get it. They don't want to get it. They don't want to know.
And isn't that part of their plan? That they have conditioned people to the point where, you know, that they make, for example, credit and so on so easy that you can go on living in debt and you really don't care what freedoms or what's happening in your country. You know, as long as you have your credit card, you can continue on spending and buying the latest gadgets and so on.
Well, I think that's something that is going to be less salient ahead. As soon as these next elections are over, there's going to be all kinds of things happening in America. Canada, it's not going to be as bad, but it's not going to be good. And I think next year is going to be a tough one unless they throw even more money at it. I mean, that's what they did. They're doing already this year. And they're going to have a decent year. But you can't keep on doing that forever.
How much longer do you think that they can continue this? I mean, there's got to be a breaking point, doesn't there, Bob? Or
yeah, when they print too much money and they have high hyperinflation and it collapses. And it will happen. How long will it take? I don't know. It's too hard to tell. And why? Because one year they might increase money in circulation by $3 trillion, and the next year it might be $1 trillion. Or things are going good, and they say, well, I guess maybe we should have a recession here, so they have one. They're manipulating all the time. It's very difficult to predict things today. I mean, that's why you see so many of these moderators and letter writers being wrong so often. It's difficult. It's not easy. Although I must say, there's a number of them that shouldn't be making any prognostications at all. But that's neither here nor there. If people want to listen, that's their business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess to each their own, they'll have to learn by their errors of, you know, who they're listening to and what their qualifications are to making or to giving advice on financial matters and so on. But just reading here something Ben Bernanke, one of his comments is he says the housing may no longer be viewed as a secure investment. I guess he recently made that comment. I tell all my clients they should have never viewed their house as an investment to begin with. It's everybody needs a place to live, and really, you never stop paying for your house, whether it's taxes or repairs or insurance or interest if you have a mortgage. It's a continual expense, and ultimately, if the government wants to build a highway through your house, they're going to do it. So you really don't own it anyway. But what do you think, Bob?
Oh, I've always felt that way. Although I made great amounts of money in the real estate market, it really wasn't my intention. I just happened to be there.
Yep.
A house is to live in, not to speculate with. If you notice throughout the world, most countries, people save up $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 and they build a house. They don't have any mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should be done. Otherwise, you're in the clutches of the banker.
Yeah, I believe some of the older, older folks in Europe, that's the way they do things. I know in the country where my wife is from, a house may take 3 or 4 years to be finished. 1 year
that's
they
right.
might have enough money to put in windows. The next year they'll put in the electrical. The year after they'll do the plumbing. And they build it little by little. But once it's done, you know, they have no debt. And that house, you know, the way that they build homes in Europe is out of those big clay blocks or bricks, whatever they call them. And those homes last forever. I mean, you know, they got homes there. They're 200 years old.
That's right.
I mean, it goes, some of those homes, too, they go from generation to generation. You know, a lot of people live with their grandparents, still live with them, and they take care of them and so on. But now here, nowadays, your parents have a house, you have a house, your grandparents have a different house. You know, and in every house, there's at least 2 or 3 bedrooms that are empty, but, you know, everyone looks at it, oh, I got a big house, you know, and they're all proud of it. So, I know.
Well, you know, there's a possibility of children and people moving in with you because of difficult times like you're seeing now. And so, you know, the 2 bedrooms that were empty for the last 15 years are now refilled because our 2 sons lost their jobs.
Yep.
And stuffed in there, each room is 1 or 2 children along with mommy.
Yeah, I was reading recently that there's a higher rate of parents or kids moving in. Well, not kids, but adults moving back in with their parents because of that.
They have to.
In the U.S. and
you go into an area, homes are selling for $350,000 in 2005, they're now selling for $140,000. Most people have lost their homes if they had a mortgage. The only ones that, you know, don't get the mortgage call, so to speak, are the ones who pay cash, and there's not many of them. Probably 40-45% of all homes are owned outright. And as this new generation rolls around toward and into retirement, that'll stop because a lot of young people say, oh my goodness, I'm broke, I don't have any job, and granny left me this house, and I can get $150,000 for it, I'll take it. At least I'll be able to live.
Mm-hmm.
I see it happening every day. And most of them put their money into gold.
Right, Bob. I had some clients ask if they, I mean, depending on suitability, if their finances are in order, if someone has a house that's paid off and let's say they're in a stable position with their job and so on and they have very little or no debt, would it make sense for them to get a line of credit or a mortgage on their home and just purchase physical gold with that?
Absolutely. It's a good idea. I like it. People should preferably be in their 50s or 60s, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the best age, so to speak.
So you don't see it as a risky transaction?
Between 2000 and 2003, I did. But things change.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if
we helped a lot of
right
people,
now,
I'll tell you.
Right. No, I'm just saying is if I mean right now here in Canada, I believe interest rates are around 3% for a mortgage. And the way I look at it, I mean, if you can get a mortgage for 3%, and over the past 10 years, gold has been returning an average of about 20% per year. I mean, it sounds like a good deal to me. I mean, you'd be making roughly 17% on your money.
That's right.
So
that's why I tell people to wait if they've not bought, unless they have a very specific reason, and put that money to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even if your rents are higher than what your mortgage payment would be. Don't forget, there's lots involved in owning a house. Cost-wise.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't consider that. If you have a mortgage on a house, one, you have the interest, and then you have to pay taxes, and then you have to get insurance on the house, and then you have to pay the utilities, and then just maintaining the house, lawn care and so on, and maybe you want to get an alarm on the house, and security and so on. So whereas when you rent, you're just paying that monthly rent. The landlord takes care of the rest of that. But, you know, here I remember back when everybody was marketing home ownership and saying why rent when you can own for the same price, and they advertised just the price of rent compared to what the cost of a mortgage would be on a monthly basis. But, you know, then they don't consider all the other things that go along with owning a home. You know, where the cost would be much more than just rent. So, people have this, I've had clients in here that, you know, have this obsession with owning a big new house, and I don't know what to tell them. They just want a new house because their next door neighbor has one or their brother has one, and I tell you, you're better off just to own some gold and stay in that house that you already have. If you don't absolutely need one, get some gold and silver as insurance, because the prices of your utility bill and everything else is going to be going up. You want to have gold and silver to offset those prices. So, you know, it's hard to convince people, but I guess sooner or later they'll learn.
And they will, unfortunately, usually the hard way.
Yeah. What do we have next week, Bob? Anything, expecting anything interesting to happen?
The ongoing Greek saga.
Yeah.
I'll be going to be very surprised if PASIC passes that bill. If they do, a month and a half from now, they'll be out of a job. Every one of them will be voted out of office. It's going to be unbelievable. So that's what they're faced with. They've been trying to get an election, and of course, the Illuminists don't want them to have an election until after, so they can shove this rotten deal down their throat. I mean, take them 30 to 50 years, even with a 30% write off, to come out of a depression. I mean, come on, that's crazy. They should have defaulted 2.5 years ago.
They're just going to be under the control. When you're in debt, I guess, you know, you're just under the control of the lender, whoever that is. And you know, just like owning a house, you don't own your house. The bank owns it. You're just paying them the payment. Same with, I guess that same thing in Greece. If they go, you know, if they get another bailout, they or austerity, they're just going to keep owing and owing. Doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
But isn't that what they want? Like the powers that be, they want all these countries in debt so that they can control them.
Yeah, that's right. They want Western Europe, Canada, and the United States financially and economically on their back, so they can force them to accept the world government.
So, what countries do you think that they would not be able to gain control over, I guess?
China, India, Brazil, maybe Venezuela, even as screwed up as it is, India, Iran, and there's a lot of other countries out there who are sick and tired of what the United States government has done for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they make things happen. They just go around killing people. Well, I don't think that's a very good idea. Human beings running around murdering each other. And they're not the only ones.
Well, I guess the so-called powers that be have taken over control of the government. I know that in my travels, you know, people have this opinion about the U.S. And so on, around Europe and Latin America and so on. But it's not, you know, the people in the U.S. Are different. It's the government's foreign policy that people don't like. But I mean, I've talked to a number of even my customers that travel around, and you know, people still are open to U.S. citizens around the world, and you know, they treat them, they respect them, and so on. And it's just the government policies that they don't like.
And that's true. 85% of foreigners like Americans. 65% of foreigners hate the United States government. Just like most Americans do. Have they got any sense?
Yeah, I remember I had experience in Europe once at the airport in Amsterdam, and there's a lineup of people, and I went with my Canadian passport, and they didn't even ask any questions when I got on the plane. It's like Canada, going back to Canada. It's okay. Everyone else in line, they were asking all kinds of questions and so on. And I think even the Americans, they just put them on the plane. But so it's, you know, the world is changing. And Bob, on that note, we'd like to thank you very much for joining us today. Yes, we'll see you next week, and have a good weekend.
You too, and thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.